So she's driving to church early morning. She's at the stoplight. And she starts praying. Show me what you want me to do with this property. She opens her eyes because the car behind her is honking. Dude, my sign was directly in front of her when she opened her eyes and said amen. And guess what? This is the craziest part of it. It was the last sign that I put up when I was sitting at the stoplight saying, God, if you want me to do this, bring me a buyer or bring me a seller. And I was like, what? And I was like, where were you when you prayed that prayer? And it turns out she was right there. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent here. As you can see, there's no Michaela, but I do have our little puppy back in the background, so hopefully he doesn't give us fits. Michaela's been dealing with Reese. She's been a little bit sick, so please excuse her absence. But I'm joined with Logan Mayberry here. Logan and I reached out to Logan. It wasn't even a week ago, I don't think. Logan, just a few days ago, I came across a reel on Instagram that you had posted. Incredible. I was in tears, and usually when I see a grown man in tears on a video, which you were, I have either one of two reactions. I'm either going to start crying with you because I feel the spirit, or
cringe.
I'll start cringe and make fun of you and be like, come on, man up, you know?
For sure.
But, but no, yours got the first reaction out of me, and I immediately showed Michaela. I sent you a message, and you got back to me, and no hesitation. Just immediately, you said, yes, let's do it. Those are my favorite reactions. I don't even know if you knew much about the show or what we were doing. I just told you kind of briefly, but that just kind of confirms what we're doing, and that I've connected with complete strangers and they're on board with what we're doing. And I love it. That's, those are my favorite. So thank you for being so willing to come on and share some of your experiences. After we're done here, I'll have you share your Instagram with everybody. I'll post it in the show notes so everybody can go see what you're doing. It's awesome. It's inspiring. And I'm thrilled and excited to have you here and share some of your stories and how you got to where you are.
Well, man, I sure appreciate that. I'm excited to share the story with you guys.
Awesome. So yeah, go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself. And if you can think of something kind of weird or quirky, that's always a good little icebreaker too.
Yeah. So, I grew up in the South in Missouri, and, yeah, just a normal kid with big dreams, knew I wanted to do something bigger than what I was dealt. And so, yeah, moved out to California, did YouTube for several years, realized that wasn't for me. 2017, I ended up running across the entire country with a friend. After that, I ended up moving to Tulsa, got into real estate, because an angel came to me and told me to do that. Did real estate for several years, but still felt like there was a void. And one day I started feeling the desire to start making videos again. And I really liked this approach that a lot of creators were doing, like going out and doing the undercover kindness style videos. Like they'd go up to people, ask them for some kind gesture, they show a little bit of kindness, and then you whip out $500 or whatever it is, and then you crowdfund for whatever they're going through. Really loved that idea. But God showed me recently that it's so much more than that. And I didn't realize that in the beginning, but I kept feeling like, why is there a void here? Why do I still feel like I'm not making an impact? And it took me a while. It really did. I started filming with my buddy Jose because I felt like I always knew he was very prophetic. Just a guy I met at the gym. We started to become friends. And then he kept telling me, he's like, dude, I believe in you. I believe in you, like, creating content for the internet. And I was like, man, I just felt like he was supposed to be a part of it. So we started going out and things just started happening, man. It's just been such a wild, like, month and a half. I mean, I've only been creating these videos for a month and a half, but my faith has grown from, like, this tiny little drop to the ocean. And I'm just so grateful for the journey because my life has just flipped upside down ever since I started this. A lot of people would look at my situation and run as fast as they can back to their old lifestyle. Yeah, it's been a very interesting road. Challenging at first, but when things all aligned the right way, God made it so apparent to me that he was just getting rid of my distractions. And at first I was scared, like, you know, I had a house burned down, I lost my job. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to fund these videos, and I had a lot of doubt, but he kept saying to me, I'm getting rid of all of your distractions so you can focus on your purpose. And that gave me so much peace, a peace that I've never felt before, a peace that I wish everybody could feel at some point in their lives. And they can if they just, you know, pursue God in the right way too. But so this all started,
Logan,
with,
really quick.
Yeah.
Before you actually get started on that, I know there's still a lot of people listening that are thinking that you just threw a bomb out there, that you walked across the country. Can you just explain that a little bit more and maybe, like, give people, I mean, maybe there wasn't even a reason, but I don't want people to be thinking about that the whole time and not be focused on everything else you're saying.
I'm really bad at, like, dropping bombs like that. Yeah, so I met this guy when I was living in Los Angeles, and he told me one day that he was going to go and do this cross-country walk for charity, and he was going to inspire people to build after-school programs because he had a program in Compton teaching kids how to rap. It was a really cool program. And it was right around the time Straight Outta Compton came out. So he was going to do this victory walk from where he's from, Chicago, all the way to Compton, California. And it was straight into Compton. And so I just love the idea. He's a very free-spirited guy, just like myself. And he brought this to me. And I was like, at first, dude, there's no way. But then God showed me this vision of what my life would look like if I kept saying no. And it was very, very interesting because in the dream, I'm in a hospital. I'm walking down this hall. Everything's white. And I'm walking with this man with long hair and just like not a doctor's coat, but similar. But it went all the way to the ground. And call it what it is, but at the time, I wasn't really seeking God. Like, I was seeking more into, like, law of attraction and all that stuff. So we walked down the hall, we entered this room, and there lay a guy on his deathbed. And I remember looking, but the guy had his head down, and I couldn't see his face, And nobody was saying anything. It was just this guy laying on the bed. I didn't even say anything. So there's this guy. He's on a stretcher. The heart monitor is just at a standstill. It was obvious that he was dead. And all of these spirits were above him in almost like human form. And they were all whispering things. And I was trying to figure out like how this had any relevance. So there was a bunch of people in above him asking him like things like, hey, we want you to do this. We want you to do that, whether it be job opportunities, adventures, sports, careers, all kinds of stuff. And he was laying there with his eyes closed, just saying, no, I can't do that. Making up excuses for whatever reason. I wake up, I'm sweating. I'm like, whoa, that was weird. Because I could tell that that guy was the future me. Because the people that were there asking him these questions, some of them were people from my life. And it was really interesting. So I go back to sleep and I have the same dream all over again. But wow. This time we enter the room and the guy just, he's laying there, but with a smile on his face. And I didn't think too much about it, but basically same thing happened again. The people were there asking him to do stuff. And he was like, heck yeah, let's do that. Like, and then I got to see this small glimpse of what it was like to just say yes every once in a while. And I'm a very extreme introvert. Even still to this day, it's very challenging for me to just go up to someone and say some outlandish stuff. But sometimes, you know, when you hear from God, you just have to say yes. Like, hearing is only 50%. You know, the other 50% is actually doing what he says. So anyways, I woke up that morning and I quit my job. I loaded all my crap into storage and I called my buddy Kirk up and was like, hey, I'm in. And drove across the country, joined him. And we walked together for over 100 days. And then I think it got to the point where it was a more of a mental challenge as a physical challenge in the beginning. And he ended up stopping in Amarillo, Texas. I kept going. I reached Flagstaff, Arizona. Then I met another girl that was running across the country. We joined up because we didn't necessarily want to go through any more desert by ourselves. So then we went all the way up to a town called Pocatello, Idaho. I don't know if you know where that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's the smile capital of the USA is what their sign says, something like okay. that. And we ended up splitting there because I wanted to keep going more north, and then she was going to finish in Portland. And so I got pretty much up to British Columbia and then finished in Seattle. One of the best experiences I've ever had, even though it was so challenging. I look back at that time and I wish I was there almost every day. Just back there, like on the road, meeting good people, having these experiences that you can only have when you don't have anything. I don't know how to explain it. It's something you just have to just go and do and experience for yourself. But I guarantee you, anybody that goes on an adventure like that, it'll change their whole perspective on life.
I can imagine.
I think mainly the biggest thing for me is like just dropping everything. You don't have any things. You can only carry so much. And not having a support team or people around you all the time that you know, and having a routine. Like, your routine is 30 miles today. Like, that's the only routine. Walk. I think getting rid of all of life's general distractions, whether it be material or other routine things that you do in your life, it just puts you out there with your thoughts. And God really reaches out when you're just with your thoughts. But yeah, it was a cool experience. My whole life's been changed from it, and I'm very grateful that I got to do that when I was only 20 years old at the time.
Well,
yeah, I had my 21st birthday there.
I can see how I'm sure that experience has kind of molded you and paved the path to kind of where you are and what you're doing now.
Yeah, in a way, in some degree, yeah. I did have a lot of angel encounters on that trip, but I was so far into believing that I was attracting all of that stuff that I didn't even realize the whole purpose behind it until years later. And I, my faith walk has been kind of like, if you look at the stock market in the last 5 years, that's been my faith, basically. And it hasn't been a clear path in an upward position, but we're getting there. We're figuring it out, and I'm grateful for it. But yeah, so moved back to Tulsa after that, and I feel like I should tell the story about how I got into real estate, because, dude, yeah, let's get into that.
Let's do it.
So my last job was a postal service. You told me briefly that you worked for UPS, and I was like, man, I love that. So my job was very challenging. I had the longest route in town. I walked 22 or 23 miles every single day, rain, shine, snow, sleet, hail, tornado, we're out there, you know. So I really loved the job being outdoors, but I knew that that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. So I always had this void in me. I always felt this void. And I become really, really depressed over the time that I was here, because I didn't know anybody. I had this job that I didn't really like, and I was just mentally exhausted, mentally, physically exhausted all the time. And it was a season where they were working the postal workers like 80, 90 hours a week. And we would have to file a grievance to get one day off in like 3 months.
Wow.
I think the longest we ever went was like 100 something days without a day off. And then we filed our grievance and they got paid. So it all made sense. But yeah, during that time, I was always trying to be innovative and find ways to think outside the box and to try and find like what I was actually meant to be doing. And one day I started trading stocks. It was great. I turned a $5,000 account into a $500,000 account in just a few months. And I'll never forget the day before Christmas Eve. This is like 2018. I was learning about options trading. That's how I blew my account up so high. And the day before Christmas Eve, 2018, I made a trade. Lost half of my account. I was like, oh my gosh, that was devastating. Because I was so used to doing like big trades, I didn't realize like what options trading really was and how crazy it is. And so the next day I was like, I'll never do that again. Christmas Eve, 2018, I placed a trade, lost the other half of my account.
Oh no.
So what a humbling feeling it was. And I fell into like this dark place. I wouldn't say depression, but I would say a dark place. And I just lost all hope in who I was, kind of, because I felt like I was a very disciplined person. But after that experience, it's like I lost that faith in that person. So a few months later, I still haven't even thought about trading. The idea of trading is just like out of the picture. And one day I'm out on my route, and this lady that I'd never seen before, I deliver her mail for over a year, never seen her before. I'm at the her door. She has like one of those mounted boxes on her house. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting the mail in her box, and I can hear these footsteps running through the house. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? They're excited about mail. And so door swings open. She's like, you, mister, God told me that he's about to bring a blessing into your life, a financial blessing into your life. And when it happens, you have to give him all of the glory. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I was like, what the heck? But also like, wow, like, what a sweet message to give someone, because she has no idea what I'm going through, who I am. But I knew that I needed to seek something. I needed to seek answers from that. And it was funny. I had my headphones in because I was talking to my really good friend, Matt Gacy. And he kept telling me, he was like, bro, I told you, man, you need to get to church, bro. Like, I've been telling, because he heard the whole interaction. And I'm so grateful that he got to hear that, because he got to see what it looks like when you just act on what God's asking you to do. So about a week later, I just could not shake the idea of what this lady said to me. So it was late at night. It was like the only time I could really focus, because I went to the gym after work too. Like, I was locked in for a while. And so I'm on YouTube watching a video on trading. And I happened to come across in the sidebar on YouTube suggested videos. And it was this video about how to flip real estate with no money. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. But then, like, I heard these voices in my head. Oh, that's just an expensive course they're trying to sell you. Don't click on the video. So I go back to my boring stock trading video that was live. Like, so boring. And I started falling asleep, and I was about to shut my laptop, and I looked back at that video, and it was like 47 seconds long. And I was like, I got 47 seconds. So I opened the video, and it was like the explanation behind flipping assignable contracts on real estate. So kind of like brokering, but there's like, you write a sales agreement on the purchase of a property, and then you take that contract and you sell it to another end buyer because you have it at such a low price. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to find these motivated sellers. So I started Googling, what are the cheapest ways? Because I don't have any money. Like, I had like $200 to my name, which was like so humbling. And I found this this video was talking about this plastic signs that you see that say we buy houses with a number. And so I bought 100 of them. It was like 50% of my net worth at the time. But it was me taking action. And that's the key. So I bought 100 signs, 50% of my net worth. Who is listening would give up 50% of their net worth to try something? Anyways, so I bought these signs and I started putting them out. I put them out for like several weeks and no calls. My last night, I had like 5 signs left. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, putting them out. And I'm like, God, if you really want me to do this, you'll bring me a seller. I don't even go to sleep that night. I just like stay up all night and just go to work. Like, some nights it was like that. I just had to stay up, because if I went to sleep, I'd just be more sluggish during the day. So I get to work. I just got on route and I get this call. I answer it and I knew it was a lead because I had like a call system set up. This lady's crying on the phone. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, motivated seller. Let's go, baby. And so I'm like, kind of just like, whoa, that is crazy. How? I just prayed about that. And so she's crying on the phone, and I'm just like, what's going on? Like, tell me, like, do I need to, like, call an ambulance? Like, what's going on? I was just so confused, honestly. And it turns out she and her husband pastor a church in Tulsa. And it was Wednesday morning. She was driving to church, and they have this property that was a complete nuisance to their whole marriage. The husband, his ex-wife passed away, and he just had this house. It was starting to dilapidate. He just moved out of the house, left everything, socks, underwear, everything in the house. Weird. Just left the house. And so that house became a burden to them in their new marriage. And she said she woke up that morning and she just felt a lot of anxiety about it and how they knew that they needed to get rid of it. So she's driving to church early morning. She's at the stoplight. And she starts praying. Show me what you want me to do with this property. She opens her eyes because the car behind her is honking. Dude, my sign was directly in front of her when she opened her eyes and said amen. And guess what? This is the craziest part of it. It was the last sign that I put up when I was sitting at the stoplight saying, God, if you want me to do this, bring me a buyer or bring me a seller. And I was like, what? And I was like, where were you when you prayed that prayer? And it turns out she was right there. And I was like, oh my gosh. I like broke down on the phone with this lady on route, mid route. I was like in someone's front yard, just like crying on the phone. Like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And you know what I did that day? I finished my route. I quit the very next day with no plan, no money. All I knew is I was going to get one more paycheck, but no plan. All I knew is prayed about it, God answered, and here's me walking out on faith. A couple weeks later, we're in her car. It's raining. We're in like an alley. I'm super nervous. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know how to fill out the contract. And her husband says, it's crazy how Logan prayed that night, the same exact day you prayed, and now we're here together. What a miracle. And when he said that, it made me think of that lady on my route. So I start telling them about this lady, and turns out that lady, the same lady, goes to their church and have been praying to be able to bless someone financially. Like, what? I was just like, wow, man. Like, and from that point on, like, I never looked back. I never thought for a minute that I needed to go back to my old life, to this life that I never liked anyway. I was fully committed to making this work. And man, my life forever changed that day for so many reasons. And I'm grateful. But now I'm in this period of my life where I've made some money. I feel good. Like I own several properties. But I still feel a void. And I'm like, why do I feel this way, God? And I knew I lacked purpose. I knew the purpose of my life wasn't to just go out and make money. There was something more to life, and I knew that. So over the years, I've thought about videos and going out and helping people to some degree. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I just wanted to go and give money away and help people make people's day, whether it be $20, pay for someone's coffee, like whatever it could be, to encourage someone to see that there's still good in the world. There's so much bad online, and I just wanted to be an outlet for people to go and watch content and feel good, not feel bad or like fearful of what's going to happen next. I just wanted some type of platform where people could go and feel good. And that's always been the model of my whole like social media journey, is like, I want to be the feel good channel. And so, so that was that, and felt this void. So I started pursuing videos again. And I was at the gym one day and I met this guy named Jose Miranda. And I knew that there was something special about him, something that I desired to be like. And after spending a lot of time with him at the gym, I realized that he was very prophetic and he knew things about me that nobody should know or would know or could know. And one day he said, God told me to spend some time with you. I don't know why, but I believe that I need to be your mentor. And I was like, I was thrilled because this guy's like mentored some big leagues. And I was just honored to even hear these words come out of his mouth. And so obviously I accepted. And the first time we spent a little coffee time together, we were sitting there and he was like, I believe you're supposed to be in some type of philanthropic area. And he had no idea that about my YouTube past or anything. And I was just like, interesting. Just took a note of that. And so fast forward a couple more weeks, I ended up buying this house and I was really excited. It was a crazy good deal. And I bought it originally to sell it, but then I started spending time out there and I was like, man, this is my house. This is like where I'm going to live. I just knew it. But then God kept urging me to think about these videos. A lot of things happened for me to say this to you. And I was like, man, like, how can I live in this house way out in the country, an hour from where everything is, and make that commute every day and be motivated? Like, it was just challenging for me to think about that. So I had a lot of anxiety about this house after purchasing it, which was weird. I should have been so thrilled to have this house, but I felt anxious about it. So I was like, maybe I am supposed to sell it. So I'm in the town. Well, I was probably like 10, 15 miles away from the house one day. And I was out working, doing some government stuff. And something told me, even though I knew I needed to be back in that area the next morning, something told me to go all the way back to Tulsa and not stay at that house. So I went home to Tulsa and I'm laying in bed that night. And I'm like, God, why do I feel this anxiety? Take it from me. Make me move into that house full time or bring me a buyer for it. I go to sleep. The next morning, I wake up to a text from my neighbor. Hey, buddy, I don't know how to tell you this. I just need to be direct. Your house burned down last night. I think you should come out here. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I felt like I was in a dream, to be honest. And it was like I prayed about it. Boom, instant. Well, here you go. And so I got out there. I at this point, I still feel like it's just a big joke. Like, my house is going to be there. Fire trucks are there. They're spraying water on it. And I'm just, like, devastated. This whole house. I'm at a loss of words. And I'm like, well, I guess I don't have to worry about that anymore. Until then, the... the insurance company started battling me and my anxiety became 10 times bigger. And I'm like, God, why is this happening to me? I keep like asking him every day, like, why does this stuff keep happening to me? And I heard him say, I'm getting rid of your distractions so you can focus on your purpose. I felt peace for like a day. And then it went back to reality. I'm like, oh man, I just feel anxious about this whole thing. Like, the insurance company is giving me such a hard time. I had to go like before an attorney and just, it's been a lot, man. I've been going through a whole lot lately. But I knew that there was hope. I knew that I felt called to make these videos. So me and Jose officially start. We're going out, finding people. We're trying to find good people that are deserving, that have just fallen on hard times. And dude, divine appointment after divine appointment. And I started to feel a little bit of hope. And I told Jose, I was like, you know what's interesting? Before all of this happened, before the house burned down, God told me to sell everything and give all of the money away. And I know that sounds so crazy, and I don't think in the moment I was that locked in to do that, but the fact that all this stuff is happening, I know it's just a confirmation to tell me, like, hey, you are supposed to do this for a good reason. And I think it's like, I go back to the story of Job and how, like, he had all this stuff and God, he had to go through so much more, but his faith got him through it, and God gave him like double what he had before. And I just feel like I'm in that chapter of my life where I'm kind of like Job. And it was very ironic that I even thought of this, but I was driving home from the gym just yesterday, and there was this car in front of me, and it says J-O-B. And it made me think of that. And but anyways, so start making videos, divine appointments after divine appointments. And one day, it's day 8. I'm opening my emails in the morning right when I wake up. I'm like, please let this be the insurance company telling me that everything is okay. No, it's my job. The email reads, hey, we've come to the determination that we're letting you go from our contract program. You no longer work here with us. We're reserving the right to not tell you why. You're just done. You're terminated. Don't email us asking for an explanation. We're not giving it to you. And it was such a weird direct message. I'm like one of the number one people in this company in this district. And I'm like, I instantly started to feel that anxiety creep back up on me. And God whispered to me, I'm getting rid of your distractions so you can focus on your purpose. And I felt that peace again. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. So I keep making videos. But I could tell that I still had such small faith at this time, because I wouldn't make videos unless Jose was with me. I felt like without Jose, I couldn't have divine appointment. So there was this week, and I'm so grateful for this week. Jose was busy this whole week, and I'm like, dude, I got to make content, bro. Get your butt out here. Let's go. And he was busy this week. It was like, you know, Thanksgiving weekend or, I don't know, something to do with like school, and he was just busy with his kids. And so he kept telling me, he was like, dude, you need to go and make a video out at the burn site telling people everything that's happened to you since you started walking this walk. And I didn't want to. And to this day, I still haven't uploaded anything about it. And so you guys are hearing it for the first time. But I didn't want to make this video, but something told me to go ahead and go out there that day. So I'm driving out there, and right as I was exiting Tulsa, realized my gas gauge was empty. And so I'm about to pull off of the highway to get gas, and God says, pay for the first person's gas that you see. Don't even think about it. I want to show up in your life today, in your life, not this thing where you have to have someone else that's prophetic and to see it, but I want to be there with you. And I was like, okay. So I get there, right as I pull up, there's a car in front of me, the only car at the gas station. It was interesting. And I'm like, that's the one. I knew it right as I pulled up. That's the one. So I start pumping my gas. Nobody was in the car at the time. Start pumping my gas. I sat there for like over 10 minutes. Nobody came to the car. And I started hearing these voices. Hey, it's time to go. Nobody's coming. The car's been there for hours. It's time to head out. You got to go make your video, remember? And so I go inside to get a drink. And right as I entered the gas station, I saw this very well-dressed woman checking out. She was laughing, very well-dressed. And I heard God say, that's the one. And I was like, nah, that's not the one. That's not the one. Look, she clearly is doing well. She's happy. Like, she's smiling, being very nice, dressed nice. And that's just not who I believed was the one. So I go up and I'm paying for my drink and I look out the window and she's walking to that car. And I hear God say, told you, that is the one. And there were a lot of people in the gas station at the time, workers, and there were other cars at the pumps, but there, like the section that I was in, there was only one car. And so I go outside and I head right to her. I don't even think about it. I'm just going to be like, hey, God told me to buy your gas today. She breaks down and just like the shock on her face said it all. And then she starts weeping and saying, wow, God led you to me today. God led you to me today. She couldn't stop repeating that phrase. And I was like, what's going on? Like, I was just like in shock. Like, I knew that that was divine appointment right away. And she was like, somebody just stole from me today. And I've been given, given, given because people keep taking, taking, taking. And I keep asking God, why me? Why do people keep taking from me and I never get a break? And she told me this. She said, I was getting ready to do something destructive today, but God led you here to me right here and stopped me in my tracks and gave me just a little bit more hope. And she said that, like, it just made me break down. I was like, wow, like, this whole time I've thought I needed someone else to be with me to have these experiences. And it was the first time God was like, here I am. I'm with you too. Don't worry. When I tell you to do something, you just do it. Don't hesitate. Just do it. And, wow, what a life-changing like experience that was for me. And since then, I've had like six more encounters just like that, all by myself. And it's like, I'll be at a coffee shop and God says, look at that person, go say this. And it's very direct. And I think old me would have said, you know, you get thoughts in your head, like let's say you see someone at the coffee shop or out and about and someone looks down. You want to go say, hey, man, it's going to be all right. But this is so much different. Well, first off, you're going to feel that way, but think, oh, what if they like say that they're fine and it's weird? And you have these thoughts. You'll always have these thoughts until you act the first time. And when it's divine appointment like that, it will change your whole life. I promise you. So, yeah. It's very direct now. I'll see somebody, God will say, go say this. It's very, very personal. Like, hey, your marriage is all right. It's on the up and up. And God told me he wanted you to know that. And just a couple of days ago, I was at a coffee shop. And before I got there, God said, you're going to hug someone today and change their life. And I was like, okay, I'm down for it. I get to this coffee shop and there's no one there hardly. There's this girl in the back room. And I walk back there and he said, that's the one. And I'm texting my mentor like, dude, like, how do I give this lady a hug without it being weird? Like, I just don't want people to get the wrong impression of me. I'm like genuinely just trying to listen to God. And, I hear all these voices, don't do it. That's going to be weird. That this isn't the one. And it just made me want to do it even more when I heard that, which is very ironic. So I'd finally mustered up enough faith to go do it, boldness. And right as I was approaching her, her friend walks in. And I'm like, dang it. And I heard this voice again. See, that's not the one. This isn't divine appointment. Head out. It's time to go. And I was like, no, I'm not going to. And I sat there for over an hour waiting for her friend to leave. Finally, I catch her outside. I was like, hey, my name's Logan. this is weird. I promise you this is going to seem very weird, but just hear me out. God speaks to me, and I know he led me to you today to tell you this. I know that you're going through hard mental stress in your relationships, but God wants me to tell you that everything is going to be okay. He's got your back, and he's working out a perfect plan for your life. And he was like, I was like, he wants me to give you this hug right here. And I give her a hug. She looks at me. She was like, wow, that's so sweet. Like, no emotion other than, wow, you're so sweet. And she says, I don't believe in God, but I'm very spiritual. And I got to share a story from when I was on my walk across country where I was like, you know, I used to be like that. And I just kept asking myself, like, why are people showing up in my life and saying God sent them? And I got to tell her a testimony of how I used to be and how God's changed my life and how I believe that he speaks to me now. It's not just thoughts. It's words from God. Like, nobody could have known what she was going to say next. And after telling her my testimony, she opened up to me about what was going on with her marriage. And by the end of it, she had tears streaming down her face. And I could tell the words that I was speaking to her were registering. She knew it wasn't some woohoo, boohoo stuff. She knew it was words from God, something higher than what she ever believed in. And I remember she hugged me at the end of it. And I could tell it was a hug of hope. And she looked at me and she was like, thank you. I needed that today. And I was like, man, God, you're so cool, dude. And I was like, man, I feel like God is using me in a way that I've always wanted to be used. And it reminded me of this time where I was going through a really hard breakup. And I remember going to this sushi place with my friend just because I wanted to vent to someone. And I mean, I was in a dark, dark place, not like suicidal, but just like hopeless. And I'm sitting there, we're about to get ready to leave and we're leaving. And the bartender throws a fortune cookie at me. And he was like, bro, you can't forget the best part. And I just laughed. And, I opened the fortune cookie and it says, when you can't look on the bright side, I will sit with you in the dark. And I was like, well, because I was really seeking God at that time. It's interesting how we always like seek God during the darkest times, but we rarely give God the glory in the good times. It's very strange. But so I go home and I'm thinking about that message that I got, and I knew it was from God. It was so direct to me. A couple days later, I had this spiritual encounter with a demon the first time. And I called my ex-girlfriend. I was like, hey, can you please come over? I got to tell you this story. So she comes over, I tell her the story, and she's like in shock. And eventually she has to go because it's late at night. And I was worried about her safety because I knew she had been drinking. And when she left, I felt like this anxiety come upon me and say, your friend, something bad is going to happen to her. So I started praying. I remember I was living in an apartment at the time. I was upstairs. All the lights were off and I just had my head down the kitchen table praying. And I kept hearing, your prayers, they don't matter. What you're saying doesn't matter. God's not even listening. And I kept hearing this verse be whispered to me about how when you pray, God listens, but when you pray together, God's within you. And I just, in that moment, I wanted to feel like God was there listening to me directly. So I texted some friends, nobody responded. And I remember having my head down at the kitchen table, just very emotional. And my phone lights up in the room and I look at it because I'm confused because I have no notifications, especially from social media. I just wanted to block everything out at that point in my life. and someone is calling me on Instagram. I'm like, what the heck? I don't even know this name. And I messaged him. I was like, why are you calling me? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And who are you? And he was like, hey, I just watched your testimony on YouTube. I think you need to call me because I have a word for you. And I was like, what the heck? And so I call him and he tells me his testimony. He was like, you can forget about all that. And keep in mind, he told me a testimony, how he rose someone from the dead. He'd be like, that's not why I called. I watched your testimony and God said, hey, call him. He needs prayer right now. Some random stranger that happened to see my video that took action when God said, do something. And it was just a confirmation. Well, the whole time since then, I've been like, man, how cool would it have been to be that guy delivering a message from God? I've always desired that type of connection with God. And now that I have it, it's like I want to just share with other people how they can also get it. Because God is always talking to us. When you're driving and you feel that urge to do something random, do something out of character, it's because God is asking you to do something. And how do you know if you're going to have a divine appointment or not if you don't do something about it? And so I always like try to urge people, like when God's telling you to do something, just do it. Because, dude, my faith was still so little before that gas station experience. Now it's like that drop in the ocean is now the ocean. And I wish everybody would just take action when God is trying to say, hey, I'm here. Just do it. And yeah, so with all that being said, I just feel like my life is so different now. Anytime I'm out in public, I don't care. I'm the biggest introvert. I promise you, it might not seem that way, but I'm the biggest introvert you'll ever meet in your life. But God has put a boldness in me that is bigger than any self-doubt that I could ever have. I feel like freaking David right now. I'm ready. I'm ready, willing, and able to do what he wants me to do. And that to me is so awesome to know. And I'm so grateful that God wanted me to do something. And I'm grateful to have just been bold enough to do something about it. So, yeah, that's my story.
Dude, I'm multiple times I was sitting here listening to you and just thinking, how am I here? Like, what? This is incredible. You know, because for me and my wife, Michaela, this podcast started because I heard a voice telling me what to do and guiding me. And it's funny you talk about those doubts and those voices, right? Those other voices. And I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm sure you have. But every time you talked about God's voice, it was a singular voice. And then multiple times you talked about other voices, right, in your head. And I was just thinking that, like, for you, maybe that's a way that you're able to differentiate whose voice is who, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. You know what I mean? And that was just a thought that I had. But sitting here listening, and you know, I think before all of this, I've always been religious, I've always been spiritual, I've always had a relationship with God, right? And I would hear stories kind of like what you're talking about. And I'd be like, that guy's full of it.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, of course.
even though having a relationship and a faith system in God, no full knowing that God can communicate with people. But it was one of those things like, oh, God's never really communicated with me like that. He's not going to talk to that person that way. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
It does.
And I think we all have been in situations in our life where we think or feel, I can do more. I need to be doing more, you know, or we get in those little ruts where things aren't going exactly how we want them to all the time. Right. But I don't want everybody out there listening to be thinking that you have to go and do what Logan is doing. You have to go and be a Logan, because God doesn't need 300 million Logans, right? Not that we have 300 million listeners, but does that make sense? Like God has plans for all of us individually. Mm-hmm. And God needs Logan to do what Logan is doing so that he can bless so many of his other children. But we all individually can bless other people and do things for them without walking up to a stranger and giving them a hug. Even though I completely believe that there are times in each of our lives where God is whispering to us, hey, that person needs a hug. And like you said, it wasn't until you really just went and did that first one without Jose that now you're able to better hear and understand God's voice. Hmm. And I think for all of us, our faith journey, our walk with God is like the stock market, like you said. And I think that's real, right? And if I'm being completely honest, I think that's how God wants it to be, because he needs us to be in those lows where we feel that void, where we feel alone, so that when we are in the highs and we know that God is sitting right there next to us in the dark, we know that it's him. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to recognize the difference so that we are always trying to be in that high where he's sitting right next to us. He's, no matter if we think he's sitting next to us or not, he's always there, right?
It's 100%.
Just whether we see it or not.
Yeah, and I think that was the biggest objective for me today, was to hopefully inspire a little bit of hope into people, knowing what I'm going through right now, having no plan other than just listening to God every day, having no more income, and also hearing, hey, give all of your money away also, is so interesting. But I know that I'm hearing from God right now, and he's like, he wants me to be a testimony to so many other people to say, hey, when you really give God everything and surrender everything, my relationships, my income, my stability, everything, and do exactly what he tells you to do, your life will be forever changed. Now, I know a lot of the listeners are probably thinking, this guy is a Yahoo. What are you saying? But that's what faith is. Faith is doing exactly what you're told. Have I experienced what the money and everything from doing this? No. Like I'm actually depleting all of my funds right now. I have no plan. But I know God is on my side, and he's directing every single step that I take. Every word that comes out of my mouth, I know it's literally from the creator of the universe. And so how can you not get jacked up about knowing that? And so I just urge everyone listening today to humble yourselves and to listen. Start listening. Start asking God for guidance every day. Lead me somewhere. Allow me to meet someone with the right words. And also allow me to receive words from you, because oftentimes we think that we have to be these angels for everyone, or we want to encounter angels. But when we hear something and we know it's divine appointment, and that person is telling us something prophetic, are we going to listen? Or are we going to take action? Or are we just going to say, oh, that was a coincidence? What coincidence? I just urge everybody to just step out in a little bit more faith today as you go about the rest of your life, and start doing what God wants you to do. Throw your plans out the window, because your little plan is so little. You know it's little. And God's got such a much greater plan for your life. And I truly believe that. And I know we're all going to get to heaven one day and think, wow, I'm grateful to be here. And God's going to say, man, I had so much more for you. Even though you did all these great things, I had so much more for you. Here's all these encounters you had that you said no to. Your life could have been so much more. I know he's going to be like, you big dummy. But I'm just grateful for this life, man. I'm just so thankful. And I've never felt so much gratitude. Even in this time of despair, even though I'm going through all this, like, It's a humbling experience. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful to have the outlook that I have. And I just wish that people would look at big life changes like this as a good thing. Look at it as a redirect and start asking questions like, why is this happening? Where are you leading me? Immediately ask, where are you leading me? Because when dramatic things happen like that, it's a test of faith. What are you going to do? How are you going to react? Are you going to curse God for allowing this to happen? Or are you going to look at it as, you know, things happen? God is not purposely trying to do bad things. Bad things just happen. And when you look at it as a redirect and know that God has a plan for your life and actually believe that God has it, everybody says, oh, God has a plan for me. But very little people that I know actually believe that, actually walk that. And I guess that's like really what I want to leave people with is ask yourself, do you really believe that God has a plan for your life? Because if you do, you won't get upset when things are redirected. You won't. I think that God led me into real estate to make money so I can focus on the bigger picture. And now that I've made money, he's like, hey, you've made it to where you are now. It's time to redirect now. It's time to get focused on what your real calling is. But yeah. Crazy. Life's crazy, man.
It is. I don't even have to ask you for any advice because you just gave a whole bunch of it. But I do have to ask you our final question. And you've given a lot of truth also. But if you have one more little thing I'd love for you to share with our listeners, what do you know to be true?
God is always speaking. He's always telling us to do things. But are we going to do what he's asking us to do? But I do believe, and this is so true, if we just step out on a little bit of faith and have a divine appointment, like he's trying to set up every single day, our faith is going to be so great and so powerful, and your life's going to be forever changed. So the question to you is, the next time God says do something, are you going to do it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Logan, thank you for starting out my day with a divine appointment. I'm thoroughly grateful to having spent the last hour with you and learning from you. And I'm just so grateful that you're willing to share and to continue to share your story.
Absolutely.
So thank you. I love you. And I'm sorry for what you're going through, but I'm also grateful for what you're
going through. I'm grateful too. Grateful for you guys to have this platform sharing stories like this. So I'm glad that I came across your message, because my inbox has just been flooded with so much, but it's all good things. And Angels Among Us like really stood out to me because of all of these encounters I've had. I'm like, I need a message though. So I'm so glad I did that.
Me too.
It's been a pleasure chatting this morning.
I agree. Thank you. And we'll let everybody go. Have a good day. Look for those angels.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.